Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 40 of the New Process Podcast. Wow, it's already episode 40, and that's why this is going to be something special today. It's not just one interview, we are going to have 7 interviews in a row. 7 interviews with fascinating people I met at the so-called Hello Beta live event. Hello Beta is a community with a focus on new work and transformation founded by Tobias Krüger, whom I also spoke to. Tobias Krüger has been working for the Otto Group in various positions during the last 10 years, finally leading a huge corporate culture project before he started Hello Beta. Hello Beta currently has more than 300 members, people from all kinds of organizations interested in new ways of working and transformation. And finally, it was time to meet in person, and I could not miss this opportunity to collect new ideas to rethink processes. The event was structured as a barcamp, which means that the focus was fully on the topics the community is interested in, same as on day 2 of the New Process Conference next year. So participants could attend sessions that members of the community had pre-registered. This gave the chance to choose exactly what you're interested in and then discuss this with the host and fellow participants, all on the topic of new work and transformation. As a result, there were 8 stages with over 25 sessions and 150 participants in total. After the sessions in the evening, I was able to speak to some of the session hosts about their topics and their learnings. And this is going to be the content of today's episode. So I'm speaking with Adrian Gierig, the moderator of the event, Lara Hahn and Nicolas Stemmler about the importance of resilience systems. Both are consultants at IOS, the Institute for Organizational Development and Systemic Consulting in Hamburg. I'm talking to Leona Holzbecher from Siemens Healthineers about leading across generations, talking to Katharina Plättl about 3 simple questions on how a transformation really hurts. Katharina is working at AKDB, an institution for municipal data processing in Bavaria. I also talked to Sonja Meyer from Yellow Mint Design about how to use art or image AI to improve processes. I'm talking to Laura Liebisch from Capgemini Invent and Sven Hese from New Work Hub about the game changer psychological safety. And finally, to sum it all up, with Tobias Krüger, the founder of Hello Beta. So in this episode, you'll learn how to build resilient organizational structures and cultures, how to lead effectively across different generations, how to create space for honest discussions and emotions, what art AI tools you can use to improve your process, and what the importance of psychological safety in workplaces is. So, enjoy the interviews with these awesome people.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Adrian, it's great to have you here in the New Process Podcast. You were the host, the moderator of today's event, and it was absolutely awesome how you moderated the whole day in an authentic way with humor, and I really loved what you did. But can you quickly introduce yourself and provide an overview of today's event? How did the agenda look like and so on?
Mirko, first of all, thanks for having me and thanks for the feedback. Really appreciate that. For me, right now, we're past the event time, so we will head to the after party soon. And I'm really happy about that, as you can tell. So, today was a big event for me, especially because I kind of, designed this whole barcamp, and I was in charge of the session acquisition, for example, and how everything, like dramaturgic wise, built on top of each other. And that was super interesting. And we have the coolest thing ever because we have a community which is super authentic. You don't have to mask when you're on stage, for example. And of course, I was super nervous, as I told you before. That's what you not have heard before, but I was super nervous, and I knew at a specific point that, there are a lot of authentic people in front of me. And your question was what I did before. And when I would introduce myself, I started as a sound designer. So I started, super different, I would say, a different environment. And it was all about sounds, music, pleasing customers, for example. And then it kind of changed, and I met a different company. It was Otto. And I started in cultural change because I met Toby, my manager now, and my manager before, if that is the correct term. I think we're on an eye level, which is amazing to me, and which I love. And we have this vision about community, that we try to create a room for people to exchange, talk about different topics, referring to digital transformation, cultural change, and that you have the possibility to talk about things that are annoying you, for example. And I received a lot of feedback to today's barcamp about, amazing. We have this kind of, small peer groups in similar positions, and we are experiencing the exact same things in different companies. And that's what it's about. It's about different perspectives, different point of views, but you have a similar playground.
Yeah, super fascinating. I just can recommend to all our listeners, if there will be a second edition of this event, they definitely have to go there. So that was super cool, amazing. And my question now is, what is your key learning or your top recommendation to our listeners with regards to the whole environment, the event, the content you learned? So what is your key learning?
Yeah, great question. I think it's need to let it sink in for at least 2 or 3 weeks, because I think then I could give you a better answer. But I think it's to be aware that you are in a bubble, first of all, that you have, I already told you, a lot of like-minded people. A lot of people who are in, like, might be in higher positions, leading positions, and that you are, like, kind of special, and that you need to be aware of your bubble, first of all. And on the other side, we had people who were super aware and were communicating about that fact, and that kind of created a super, super authentic, as I told you before, super authentic room to talk about things, to say, okay, yeah, you can tell that in your kind of position, but have you thought about that? How is it in a different way? And on the other hand side, it was like, we're talking about, like, real things that are happening right now. Let's talk about digitalization, what it means emotional-wise. Are we good at digital transformation, or is it not happening in a good way right now? Do we need to focus on a social transformation afterwards? And that was, for me, one of the biggest learnings or aha moments. I think that, I don't know if that's the correct term in English. Sorry for that. But like clicking moments to think about. So are we good at digital transformation? Is that the way to go? Or do we need a social transformation? And how far can we go with social transformation? And how can we discuss emotions at work, for example? For example, if you're experiencing loss, can you debate about that at work? Or, what kind of room and environment do you create? And I think we made a good first step to create this kind of room. It's not what we created. It was all about the people. Mm-hmm. It was all about the people who were there and made it happen to have this kind of atmosphere. And sorry for not answering directly.
That's perfect. And I think that's perfect introduction of this episode. So we're now going to talk to some of the session hosts and try to find out what they shared with the community. And I'm already really looking forward to the next beta live event. Hopefully there will be one. And Adrian, thank you so much. And now you can enjoy the after show party. So see you there. Yeah, Lara and Niklas, after an intense day, I'd say. It's great to have you here to talk about your learnings, why you were here. But first, would be super cool if you quickly introduce yourself, who you are, for what company you are working, and then we go deeper into the content.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I'm Laura. I'm a business psychologist working as a systemic consultant. We're coming from an organization that works on organizational development. So we work with all kind of people in organization that want to transform themselves, or that have topics about leadership, coaching. So that's all kind of things that we do. And in that context, we're here today to talk about resilience, because I think it's very important that we look at how can we become more resilient in the world that we live in.
Yeah, the consultancy we're working for is called, in English, it's actually iOS. We are always getting confused in German with the Apple software. But yeah, it's EOS in German. That's where we work for. I'm an organizational psychologist as well. But actually part-time. The other half of the week, I'm producing content myself. I'm producing YouTube videos for psychology. Not organizational psychology, more psychology in general, like biases, how we think as humans, and maybe what makes a happy life, and yeah, topics like that. So I have the passion for science.
Yeah, I saw that already on your LinkedIn profile when we connected a few hours ago. That's super interesting. Maybe we can do a solo episode on that somewhere later in the future, but. You already said you were talking about resilience. So what was the session about?
Maybe I can start. We started with just like 15 minutes input, because we've gone through many businesses, many companies with our topic resilience as a duo, actually. And in a late night session, concepting for a client, we were just, How can we condense our information, or how can we put it just in one picture? So we actually created kind of a model. Maybe you can say it. Maybe just the support for thinking about resilience in a more holistic way. So it's in the middle. It is about the mindset, then the behavior, and the context. So in which context are we in? Which mindset do we use to position ourselves, and which behavior are we showing, or which behavior are we showing purposefully? So just giving an overview about that, and then jumping right in a discussion with all the great minds here at Hello Beta. Yeah.
Cool. And what would you say? What are the three top recommendations based on your experience, which you would share with our listeners here?
So hard. Top three. Well, first, I think, as Nicolas just said, if we look at our mindset and our behavior, a very simple trick is that you have the choice. So you have a choice which mindset you choose, and you also have a choice of what behavior you choose. So in a daily business, you know, you have stresses coming in, you experience a lot of stress, and we tend to go into behavior that is not very helpful. So we stay late at night at work, and then we have problems sleeping, and then we down a bottle of wine, and then it just kind of goes from there. But we can take a conscious choice to do something different and to choose a behavior that is more helpful in stressful times. I think a second one is really to start talking about resilience in teams and organizations. A lot of organizations give the responsibility to the individuals to say, okay, let's do a workshop on resilience, that everyone, that the individual can just become stronger with what we're doing. So I think it's talking about it as a team, as an organization. What can we do on all different levels, on like a cultural level? How are we being with each other, but also on like a structural and a process level. And I think that's where we need to start making decisions that are resilient for a team or an organization as a whole.
Yeah, just been asking myself what to add, but maybe looking at context, because this is really our main message, not only looking at individuals and looking at the bigger picture, at the organizations. I think it's always helpful to look at the distinction between the three levels of processes, structures, and culture, and just looking at it and at each level, what can make systems and organizations more resilient. And for example, at culture, it's like we have the culture where it's okay to maybe be sick or just not taking an appointment, for example, if you're sick. And so, but that's okay, and there is and people understand it, for example, or it's just normal, it's casual to just ask for help, for example. This makes a resilient culture. Just two examples. The structure, which structures do we have? Like, is there maybe, for example, if I'm sick or if I'm just completely overloaded and it's way too much to handle for just one person, is there a structure of 2, 3, or 4 people who have the same knowledge and the same knowledge about the client, but also knowledge about their expertise to just jump in and take the role or take the client, for example. And the last level, the processes, like which processes are there which can help and make us more resilient? And actually, Lara has a pretty good example.
Are you just hoping I have a good example? I think if we look at processes, it's a lot about what do we do with our information? So how are we set up? Even if we look at IT, for example, how do the processes work? Can we look in previous tickets? Do we know what's happened before? That makes it easier for every individual to kind of step into the process at any given time. So if someone quits, for example, as an organization, someone might be gone just the next day. We've all maybe experienced it. Garden leave, gone. What do we do? Do we need to rebuild all the knowledge in the organization? Or can we actually connect there? And do we have processes that help us to retain information and to, in a way, make our work easier or prevent it from being very stressful? And I think we could probably go on and on about examples that we all know. And in every working reality, the processes mean something different. I think for us, it's maybe we don't have PowerPoint. So we paint all the flip charts and we draw them ourselves every time for every workshop. And sometimes we think because it looks pretty and it's very nice, it's personal, but sometimes we could maybe one day we just start and have it in a different form so that we can take it and it makes it easier, especially if you have full calendars and a lot of work going on.
Wow, super cool. Thank you for these insights. And I think it's definitely worth to have separate episode on this in the future. So thank you very much. Have a great evening here. Enjoy the beer and the party. Vielen Dank.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Leona, you hosted a session on leading across generations. I found that super interesting, but can you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what the session was about?
Yeah, it was about leading across generations and the importance for leaders to consider what are the needs that different generations have in their teams. Because right now, like, the workforce is multi-generational, so we have all 4 big generations represented in the teams. And we all know from personal experiences that sometimes the needs, the work mentality, and also what they expect from each other are so different. And when someone is not having the same expectations or when needs are not fulfilled, what happens are conflicts. So I'm often saying, hey, when you have conflicts in your teams, leaders, please consider what are the different generational needs and train yourself to lead across generations. And I think this topic is getting even more and more important in the next years, because in the next 7 to 10 years, so many baby boomers are leaving the workforce, which means that we need, so until then, before they left, we need to bring them together so that they cross-collaborate. So that's why I think we should prioritize it.
That's super interesting. Actually, I just had a conversation on that yesterday with a BPM tool vendor, and that's a topic I never thought about. So I'm born 1981, so beginning of Generation Y, still close to X, and I never really realized the difference between the generation when I grew up, but now it's becoming more and more obvious, and I'd love to learn more on that. So What are your top three recommendations to take into account based on your experience?
So I think I always look on the perspective of what makes leaders effective actually. And then I try to put that into the context of multi-generational leadership. So there are four most important skills that make leaders really effective. And the first one is the purposeful vision that leaders need to communicate. So if you are able to communicate purposeful and visionary, you are a very good leader. And I always say, leaders, when you want to communicate, do not just communicate, please communicate target group oriented and consider the needs of the different generations. We all know that different generations use different channels. They use different words. Use the words to attract and to bring your vision to the different generations. Then the second very important skill is effective team collaboration. So when a leader is able to bring the team into a collaborative mood, then they are very effective leaders. And I always say, what can you do to bring team members of different generations together? You need to understand their work mentality. So ask your team and especially let them discuss in the team, what does work mean for you? What is your work mentality and what do you need? Then the third very important skill is emotional intelligence. We all know that this is becoming even more important nowadays. And emotional intelligence, we just have learned that today, when you want to be very empathic, especially in leading, you especially need to understand your own biases, your own feelings, your own triggers. So I often say to leaders, please consider your own biases about the different generations when you are in contact with them, because that affects everything. Because when we are triggered, we are working on autopilot and then we are not very productive. Yeah, I would say that are my three most important life hacks for leaders.
Wow, super interesting. And I still remember the meditation you did at the end of the session. So maybe we can do a solo episode on this in the future with a deep dive into the differences of the generations and how to especially apply that to processes. And elaborate on that. And maybe we can also do a podcast meditation? Should be possible, or? So thank you very much. Enjoy the after show party. And thank you for being here. Katharina, you hosted a session on three simple questions on how a transformation really hurts. So can you please quickly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about the session? What was it all about?
My name is Katharina and I'm working in the team for strategy, people and culture. I think it's quite important that we combine those three topics, because when it's about the strategic issues and when we talk about what we should do in a company, we should never forget the people and also what culture brings into all the conversations and our collaboration. So that was one of the key aspects I try to transport in my session. And another thing, and you already mentioned that it should hurt, yeah, or that it might hurt. I think that we can only have a true transformation if we are honest to each other, if we are true to ourselves. So no matter if we are leaders or any kind of transformation managers or employees, or I think it's that's true for any person that wants to change something, we need to speak up. And in the moment we are really honest to each other, there is always potential to also that it hurts, yeah, that we have to reflect what's the next step. And I think that it's a combination of being honest and speak it out, then to have like maybe some frustrating moments, but those frustrating moments are very important for our change projects or transformation, because if we don't have those frustration moments, we will probably not change, because change begins with every single person.
So what are these three simple questions?
It's why, what, and how?
Simple questions, but definitely hard to answer, or?
Yes, it's very difficult. Well, let me turn it around. If you start with how, it's quite easy. Or with what, because I think it's most easiest to answer the question what. Because everyone knows what he or she is doing, or they maybe at work or wherever. And then I think we also can quite precisely explain how we do things. But when it comes to the why, then that's what I learned in the last few years. It's quite hard to answer that question. Also for myself, why should our company be there the next years? What's the purpose? We learned in our transformation program, or in the whole process of transformation, that it's very, very important to start with the why. Simon Sinek always tells us so, yeah. But if you're trying to figure out what's the people's why, and if they understand maybe the company's purpose, then the answers to the questions of what or how will change. And I think that's a very, very important thing for transformation.
Absolutely. I talk a lot about process purpose. Why do we have this specific process? And that's super powerful. That's cool. Thank you very much. And what are your top three recommendations based on your experiences to take into account?
Well, it's the honesty. Honestly, it's the honesty. I already said that, but I think that's most important. And I think if you're doing such a format, if you're doing any method within a transformation process, then you always have to set the stage for the participants to allow them to be honest. They need to feel that it's okay to talk, yeah, no bullshit. Yeah, emotion is a very, very important thing in this context. So if someone's crying in such a session, I think that might be a good sign. Not always, but it can be something really powerful for the whole group. And well, another thing is also that you need to give people the room to discuss. So not only the honesty, but also to the time that the management gives the company the time to reflect and also to discuss on the topics, to grow, to learn. I think that was the core message I wanted to share with the participants in the session.
Katharina, thank you so much for your insights. Super interesting. Maybe we can deep dive sometime in the future in separate episode into what you were sharing today. But for today, enjoy the after show party. Thank you very much for being here. Bye bye. Actually, I was immediately triggered when I heard about the session, how to use art or image AI to improve processes. So I'm thinking a lot about how to rethink processes, and I had to go into this session. That's why I'm super happy to have you here, Sonja, to tell us a little bit more about how to use art AI or image AI to improve processes. So could you just quickly introduce who you are and what the session was about?
Sure. I'm Sonja, and I'm a graphic designer with main focus on user experience, and we work AI image generator or art generator to speed up our processes, to work with our clients. They have mostly no idea what they want. So we pitch ideas, and it's super easy to, also if we visualize those ideas, and that's what we do with AI. So we do the magic. I always say it's like we cast a spell to the AI generators. And if we do so, the AI mostly do all the magics.
Okay, so with regards to improving processes, you're basically improving your process of creating images for your customers, right? To generate ideas. And then you take these recommendations and create the final images. Is that correct? Did I? Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And what are your top three recommendations based on what you are doing to our listeners?
You always have to learn how to prompt, and you learn with every project you do. And every build generation AI is different, so it's kind of a language you learn, you talk to the AI, and that's what we...
Isn't that somehow spooky to talk to the AI?
Well, I'm always nice to it. No, it's simply a tool that helps us to get faster, better. And we don't need to work with, we love to, but we don't need to have to work with lots of freelancers. We can do most of the work by ourselves. We don't have to talk to many people about our ideas. They understand something else and so on. So it makes work for us pretty easy.
One final question. Do you have a recommendation on which tool to use? Or is there one single tool you would recommend, or different tools?
We use Midjourney. That's an art AI generator. Or we use Leonardo for more abstract variants of our pictures. And then there's Adobe Firefly. Adobe Firefly is one of my favorites, because you can do everything with it. So you want another background with clouds or rain or something, you just type it in and it's its magic. So
I definitely have to try it out. That's super cool. So maybe if you follow my post on LinkedIn, you will realize that there is magic happening in the future. Cool. Sonja, thank you so much for providing these insights and being our guest here. Now enjoy the after show party. Thank you very much. Welcome, Laura and Sven. You both hosted a session on game changer psychological safety. Can you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more what the session was really about?
Of course. So I'm Laura Liebisch. I have a very big interest in psychology, psychological factors, human factors on the workforce, at work. I recently got into the project of Sven with psychological safety. And it was a very spontaneous thing that we started, also outside of my comfort zone, as we just talked about. Sven just invited me to have this talk about psychological safety, and I thought, let's do it.
Thanks for asking. I'm Sven. Sven Hese. I'm like an organizational developer, strategic advisor. I worked for Volkswagen for 9 years, and there I had the chance to do an agile transformation from a classic hierarchy to an agile, self-organized network where I could like abandon myself as a manager. And I dropped out of this company like 3.5 years ago to like do the same things with other companies. And I figured out that psychological safety is one of the key aspects to make these changes successful. And this is what we were talking about in our session. We had like great examples from my history from companies who did it very well, such as Google or Pixar. And we also had like examples from companies who didn't do so well. Like you maybe all know the fails from Nokia or the diesel problems Volkswagen had. So there's big impact of this topic, psychological safety, and we will try to like enlighten it from different perspectives.
Okay, perfect. And what are the key learnings based on your session you can share with the audience?
There are a lot of learnings that I've collected throughout the past weeks while preparing for this project. I think one of the biggest ones is that psychological safety is a fundamental part to the work we do, especially knowledge-intensive work. We need to create a environment where it is safe to make mistakes, safe to fail, and also learn from these failures. And it is important to celebrate also failures. That's what we've seen from some of the success stories that we also shared during the session, that in companies where failures are celebrated, there tends to be greater learning and also greater innovation. And I think that is a very big learning. And of course, how to establish psychological safety or how to foster it within a team. I think the biggest learning was that you can talk about it a lot, but you also have to have role models that you can follow. You need people to show it is okay to be vulnerable. It is okay to say, at the moment, I don't know. Or there's also very, very important to have leaders who say, hey, I need to hear your perspective on this because, as a matter of fact, I am not an expert on this topic.
And I would like to add the business perspective of this, or like the reasoning why we should all look on psychological safety. There are many topics out there and many companies I talk to who really doubt about many things we're talking about, like new ways of working, agile working. But in contrast, psychological safety is really a thing. There are studies out there. There are examples of companies out there who really have proven that they could improve their way of working, improve their results, their financial KPIs when adopting to these methodologies, to these ways of thinking, and to this like mindset on being psychologically safe. And this is why we shouldn't like see it as a hype thing everybody is talking about, but instead of this is a real thing companies should focus on.
Super cool. Thank you for these insights. We definitely have to dive deeper into that, but not today. So enjoy the after show party. Thank you for being my guest today and have a great day. Bye-bye. So we can't finish this episode without having an interview with Toby, the host, the founder of Hello Beta and the host of this day, of this event. Toby, can you just quickly introduce yourself and summarize what the day was about?
Actually, thanks for having me. For sure I do. Actually, I guess from my perspective, the day is rather like not a day for us, but rather a day for the community. What we try to do is like creating a safe space for all the people doing all the good stuff out there and bring these people together to inspire the people and to also to share best practices. And let's say like creating learning environment, you know, the world is so mean and evil and is so full of challenges that you really need some role models and you really need to see people solving problems and this in a true and really real way, not always kind of bullshit stuff and always high glossy things and everything is working, but nothing is functioning, you know, but really people telling how they solve problems and also telling you what kind of pains they have suffered to overcome these kind of challenges. And this is what the whole day is about. Bring people together who are believing in a better future.
What would you say? What are your top three learnings from today's session or could also be overall of what you're doing with Hello Beta?
First of all, it's like to see how giving people are. You know, actually, we hosted more than 25 sessions today. And all of the people just did it to share something without getting money, without getting paid, you know, just for really the pure purpose of let people learn from their own journey. This first thing. So the second thing is like how many people are out there who are willing to do this kind of stuff. We're totally sold out. We could have sold even more tickets, yeah, because so many people are like some kind of desperate to be part of this kind of journey, yeah. And the third thing I would say is just like how to say it in a good word. Like you know, there are lots of people here who could have had the chance to create some business, trying to create some leads and trying to you know make all this kind of normal stuff you do on a fair or being on a bar camp. And this, at least from my perspective, did not have taken place at all. Nobody was like running around saying, you know, this is my card and how it was really the space for let's develop together. And that's the third thing. And this is something which I was not quite sure about if people, if it's really happening, you know. And so these are my big three ones.
Super cool. And I just have to say a big thank you to you to providing this platform with all these super interesting insights we had today. So I'm taking a lot of ideas home. So many cool contacts and topics we will definitely deep dive in afterwards. So thank you so much for being the host and my guest here today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Wow, what a day. I hope you liked this different kind of format. For me, it was really inspiring to participate in all these sessions and to talk to the session hosts afterwards in person. So recording interviews in person was a completely new experience for me, and I really like that. And hopefully there will be more in-person interviews in the future as well. So some topics were really new to me. For example, I wasn't aware of the connection between the different generations and processes. So maybe because I was born in 1981, probably in the middle of all generations right now, and that's why I'm not so much aware of the differences. But I'll try to invite Leona to a separate episode to deep dive into this topic, because I'm really interested in that and the effects of the different generations onto processes and how to take that into account. I also really like the three questions on why, how, what, for sure, and how to use these to get people involved. And it totally reminded me of my own experiences at Lufthansa Group when I was leading the Zukunftscontainer project, which was a cultural change project. And in the end, now I'm here. So with newprocesslab.com, fighting for processes, fighting to inspire people. And they're asking especially the why question is so important. It sometimes can really hurt, but it's so powerful. So a lot of interesting topics, and I hope to record some more episodes with these experts to deep dive into their areas of expertise and to get new ideas on how to rethink processes in the future. Maybe you can tell me which topic was most interesting to you. Just send me an email to mirko@newprocesslab.com or message me on LinkedIn with your favorite topic. That would be super cool. To give you an outlook on what is coming up, I just started to evaluate the results of my BPM Topics 2024 survey. So a big thank you to all of you who have taken the survey and posted their topics. There is going to be a whole episode on the results at the end of December. In addition, we'll have another expert interview coming up at the beginning of December, and a long, long, very long pipeline of cool guests for 2024. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye und auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Next level. Thank you for listening.
Before you leave, some of you already spotted something new on newprocesslab.com, which I'm going to launch within the next few weeks. So just take a look there and maybe you'll find it too and be one of the first to sign up for whatever is coming up. So have a great day. Bye-bye.